Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
We've been covering a message series that had to do with money. And how many of you are glad today what we're going to be talking about is being rich in good deeds? So let's just be very transparent. I know some of you, if we're honest, we're like, thank God we're not talking about money. That's no one here. That was in the first service when Darren shared, I'm sure. But here's what I do want you to know, is that obedience is better than sacrifice. See, God does not need your money. He wants your life. Whoa, that's kind of heavy. I think I'd rather just give him my money. Maybe I can just do that. So what I want you to know is that God wants your life. And if God has your life, he has your money. He has everything that you have. Everything that you have becomes his because you love him and he has your life. And that's really, really important. Good deeds. Let me tell you something. Good deeds, doing good deeds. And for some of you that are young, you might like, what is a deed? I'm not sure what that even means to someone that's young. Doing good things for people. Going about, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good deeds. So, you know, good deeds might look something like helping, you know, the lady across the street or somebody with groceries or something like that. But what I want to do, I want to get right into the word, read the scripture, and then go from there. So it shares with us, it explains to us why we do or why we should be doing this. How many of you know that there's a difference in teaching and instruction? There's a difference. See, instructing somebody might be saying, go. I need you to go do this. I'm going to instruct you, go. Teaching is, I'm going to show you how to do this, now go. And you're going to see that through the book of Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, there's a young leader named Timothy that Paul is charging, telling him, this is what I want you to teach and tell your people. And it says in 17, command. I mean, that's kind of a strong word, but command those who are rich in this present world, and he's talking about financially, this present world, not to be ignorant, nor to put their hope in wealth. You know, most of us know that, but sometimes we get distracted. Which is so uncertain. The wealth of this world is very, very uncertain. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Share. We'll get to the good deeds in a minute. I have a grandson who's almost three, and sharing can be a little difficult at times, even with his puppy. We'd be playing with his superheroes, and typically he'll either give me the one that is the weakest or the one that's broke, and he'll have all the coins. Here, Poppy, you can have this one. Great. I got the one that's this big. He has all the superheroes that are this big. You see, it's tough sometimes to be willing to share. And you see, it said that we are to trust or to hope in God. Well, what does that mean? For us to hope in God, we must have a relationship. Now, let me give you a word picture how that works. What does that mean, a relationship, to have hope? Because how many of you know that you can't trust God, have hope in something, or trust someone, or have faith in someone, unless you have that experience with them? Let me give you an example. let's say I'm driving home, and I think, hey, I think when I get home, I'm going to fix eggs. Well, that probably, first of all, would be a lie because I don't cook. But let's pretend I did. All right. So I'm driving home and I call my wife. All right. Are you following me so far? Right. I mean, this has to do with faith and hope and trust. And I say, hey, babe, she answers the phone. Hey, babe. Hey, I was thinking about fixing some eggs. And of course, she'd be like, really? And then I said, hey, can you check for me in the refrigerator and see if we have any? She goes, yeah, hang on a minute. And she checks and she says, yeah, we have a whole dozen here. I hang up the phone and I have a choice to make. Do I trust her? Do I stop at the store? Do I not believe her? See, but the reason why I wouldn't stop at the store is because I have a relationship with my wife. I trust her. Now, I will have to say this, that if she were to call me and say, hey, babe, could you check in the refrigerator and see if there's any eggs? I would go, no. And she would say, I think there is. You need to look again. You're looking for it like a man. I would go back and say, yes, dear, we have a dozen. So that story would be different. So the trust would be a little bit different in that. So the deal is that our trust is built on relationship. And until we have that relationship with Christ and we trust in him, here's what happens. It's hard for us to do good deeds. It's hard for us to step out in faith sometimes and to do things. And it's because sometimes we really don't believe in ourselves. We just don't. We're afraid. We're afraid to. We are afraid to do good deeds, believe that or not. We're afraid because we're not sure how that's going to go. What if somebody says, get away from me? Let me give you another story. I like to tell stories. You all like stories? I like stories. Well, a number of years back, our family decided that during Christmas time, and this isn't to say, you know, hey, we're anybody. So I just want you to understand the story, is we were going to give away money and a fairly substantial amount. And so I asked my children, I said, hey, do you want to go with me? We're just going to go in a store randomly and we're going to go up to people that we pray first and say, who do you think that we should give this to? And we were going to give away quite a bit of money to just random people in the store. Random acts of kindness. Now, I want you to understand two things. It was scary. It was, because I still remember taking Andrea, if I tell the story right and I believe it, we went in, we're all excited, and you get in the store, and then you're like, okay, we got this much money, and you're walking down the aisles, and I'm like, you know, what about them? I don't know. You think, and she goes, what about them? And I'm like, I don't know. And you know, you think that God would just give you this big word of wisdom and go, they would have a light on them that goes, it's me, give me the money. That isn't how it happened. And finally, I remember, was it, there was a woman with her daughter. Was it? And I said, what about them? And she goes, yeah, that they were in a store and they were kind of by the clothes. I'm not sure. And I'm like, and it's a really weird thing when you do this because people think you're weird. And I walked up to them, and Andrea was with me, and I said, excuse me, ma'am. And immediately she was like, you know, who are you? And I said, no, I don't want anything. This is going to seem weird, but it's Christmas time, and it's a time of giving, and I don't want anything from you, but I would love for you to have this. And she looked at it. She goes, oh my gosh. And I said, no, I just want you to be blessed. Jesus loves you. And her daughter was there, who was probably, I don't know, about 13 or 14 years old. The mom started crying. The daughter started crying. And she says, you have no idea. My daughter had given up on hope for Christmas, that anyone cared. And they're crying. My daughter's crying. I'm crying. And it was an amazing time. You know, when the word says it is better to give than it is to receive, I got to tell you something. Her and I booked it out of the store. We're like, all right, you know, bye. Have a great Christmas. And we're walking out. We can't wait to get out. And she's like crying. And we're getting in the car. And it was the most awesome feeling that I've ever had in my life and her life. And I had taken my son and we had did it. And Andrew's like, can we do this again? And I'm like, dude, we're broke. We ain't got no more money. You got some more money? I mean, yeah, I want to do this, but we are broke. You see, it is better to give than it is to receive. Let me tell you how you were created. Ephesians 2:10. You know what? If you can, Doug, if you can get that on the screen somehow, I'm sorry, that maybe wasn't planned. Is that okay? Doug, if you can get Ephesians 2:10, I don't even care what version. I'm going to read out of what I have, and I'm sure it will be similar. So, in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship. You know, I'm going to stop right there just for a minute. For years, I struggled with being short. Now, that's coming to a surprise to me that I'm not very tall. I'm shocked. I'm sure you're shocked. But I struggled with that. Most recently, can I just be transparent? Is, you know, I quit dyeing my hair. You know, I walked in the office a couple Sundays ago, and Jacob Clark was in there. And he saw me, and he goes, "Whoa, dude, you just turned gray, didn't you?" I'm like, "No, it's been like that for years, my friend." And then he started back, but "No, I mean, dude, it looks good on you." You're like, "I'm sorry," you know. He didn't know what to say. But I struggled with it. You know, what would someone, you know, they think I'm old, or think, and you know what? When you start trusting in Christ, see, he made you. He knew you from your mother's womb. He created you perfect in every single way. Your smile, your teeth that you don't like or do like, your hair that you have or don't have, everything about you is good because he created you. So I struggled with being short. All right, I don't want to embarrass him, but Bobby, stand up. You know, this guy, just so people can see us, you know, yeah, I struggle with this. Yeah, yeah. People going like this with my head and all that. But I've struggled with it for years until, you can go ahead and sit down, thank you. And I call him Big Sexy. He's in the gym. He's Big Sexy in the gym. I love Bobby. But you see, if I was concerned what someone thought about me, it is going to stop me from the blessings of God. And you know what I found out? Is that he'll use little old me to confound the wise. They're like, "What is up with that guy? I mean, how is this guy doing this?" And it's because when we lift up Christ and we do good deeds, which is what Jesus did, the Bible says he went about doing good deeds and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. We're going to get into that in just a minute. Let me finish reading this. For we are God's workmanship. Listen, if you get nothing else today, know that you were created in every way. His craftsmanship, his workmanship, everything that he detailed in you, he got done and said, "It is good." He loves you. Your hair color, everything he picked out. It says, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He prepared them in advance for us to do. Good deeds. I had the privilege and honor of being selected to be on the board of directors at the jail ministry. And for 8 years, I turned it down. "Hey, will you, you know, be on the..." "Nah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be around a bunch of criminals." Are you kidding me? You know, people are crazy, you know. And criminals and being on the board is going to take time. And I finally, the Holy Spirit, when they asked me this time, I said, "You know what? I need to do this. Something I need to do." So I went to their annual meeting. It was a dinner. And if anybody knows Scott Hayes, anybody here knows Scott Hayes? Wow. What an amazing story. Here's a young man that in his younger days, he's crazy, straight up crazy guy. So crazy, he did some things. He ended up in prison, not jail, prison. He was in prison for quite some time. And you see, there's something about prison that might help all of us. There's a time, and I understand there's jailhouse religion. I get that. But there's times when we're so busy and someone's incarcerated, and you have nothing to do but hear God. Amen? You're just in jail. You're not going anywhere. God has your attention. And so God got a hold of Scott Hayes, got his attention, gave his life to Christ, and now he is the head chaplain and in charge of the jail ministry. So I'm there, and the guest speaker was a guy that had been in jail there at Newark. And they explained that this was a guy that had made just a normal mistake. He was a suit and tie guy. He was intelligent. He got into drugs. He made some big mistakes. And he ended up in jail in Newark, Ohio. Newark, Ohio, with Scott Hayes being in charge of it. He lost his wife and his marriage, his children. Because of it, he lost his job. He stood up and said, I lost all these things, but what I want you to know, there were people in the jail that cared enough for me that they saw through the mess of my life and they were able to share, and it's changed my life forever. I have a new hope in a God that I didn't know. I have a new hope in a life that I didn't know was out there. And now he is part of the jail ministry. That's awesome. I mean, see, good deeds over and over and over. You know, the Bible says that we are the light of the world, that nobody hides that light under a bushel, right? So it's to light up wherever we're at. You know, we're to be a light. I walked in. Well, what does that look like? If any of you know me very well, you know that I'm not a religious man, or would be perceived as a spiritual man. And here's why. A friend of mine, I had to get my hair cut the other day. You know, didn't have to get my hair cut, I guess. I needed to get my hair cut. So I was getting my hair cut, and I walked in, and one of my great friends is sitting there, and you know, this place is full. I'm at Great Clips, you know, whatever. So I'm at Great Clips where I get my hair cut, and good friend of mine sitting there, and I walk in and I sit down, and any of you ever go to Great Clips, and they always ask for your phone number. And you know, you gotta lighten things up. People get too tight. Y'all too tight right now. You gotta loosen up a little bit. So I walk in, I sit down, lady goes, hey Larry, you know, can I have your number? And I go, yes. It's 8675309, and everybody, they just kind of start laughing, and she's like, nice. And then she goes, no, actually, that's Jenny's number. And I stood corrected. But see, as Christians, what people see is us being so stuffy and so caught up in our own lives and us trying to get riches and trying to make a living, trying to focus. And, you know, I've got to remodel my bathrooms, and you don't understand. You know, our kitchen needs remodeled, and my car, and we get consumed with things and making a living and riches that these opportunities of deeds pass us right by. They just pass us right by. And you see, that's what Satan wants us to do, is to get busy with our inner looking, our eyeballs looking in and not looking out. See, our eyes look out. There are times that the word says that we're supposed to do some inner looking. What's going on in there? But for the most of the time, we've been given eyes to see this way, moving forward to see others and see what's going on. Another story that will help. Good deeds. What are good deeds? I was working at America's Fitness Warehouse, and I worked with a gentleman that had just recently gotten saved, and he was a drug addict, you know. And you know, on that note, I want to stop for a minute. Wow, you know, I'm not sure what God is going to call us to do. I have an idea, but y'all know there's an epidemic of addictions all around us. Seriously. I mean, it's everywhere. It's rampant. It was in the Newark Advocate today. There was an article about a lady that opioids and, you know, people addicted to drugs and self-medicating and all these things. And so this gentleman, you know, on that, you know, pray about what God is having you to do, because I'm gonna be honest with you, that thing needs to be squashed. See, Jesus came that we might have life, and we might have it more abundantly. And people are not having life more abundantly because they are self-medicating, because they are miserable, and they're medicating themselves, and they get addicted to drugs. That isn't what God, we need to rebuke that in Jesus' name and come against it. Instead of going, wow, that's overwhelming. Because isn't it, I know I'm on a little bit of a rabbit trail, but that's okay. You know, isn't it true? That's what Satan wants us to think. This thing is so much bigger than us, and these drugs are taking control, and we're losing our city, and we've got to stomp our foot and say, hang on a minute. That is not true. His name has no rival. That's what the song said. It has, his name has no rival. There is nothing bigger than Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, take the city back. Drugs, we're going to come full force at it, Satan, in Jesus' name. Take these people's lives back. Amen? I'm glad to see you guys are really excited about that. Woo! Because I am. I'm like, you know what? It's got to stop. Instead of reading about it and going, oh man, that's too... Because I did that. I read the newspaper and went, wow, that's horrible. I'm glad it's not me. It's them. It's like, wait a minute. I got to do something about it. So back to the story. So I'm working with this gentleman, and he had just gotten saved. And he was pretty critical. I got to be honest, man. He was tough being around. He was really, really tough being around. And the reason why he was tough being around is because he was waiting for Christians to mess up. Have you ever been around someone like that? Now, he's going to church, but he's got 100 million questions and things he wants to say about how bad Christians are. And so I worked with him and waited and waited and did my best, and at times bite my tongue and wanted to punch him in the throat, and it was annoying. I mean, but it was like, God, give me patience and grace. And he did. And I worked with him for quite some time. Well, the time came that I was going to get a new car. And it wasn't a new car, to mind you. It was my daughter's 1992 Corolla, white with light blue interior. Sweet. But I was driving a 1987 light blue Escort. Woo! That was smoking hot car. But I had just put new tires, changed the head gasket. I had that sucker running really, really well. I mean, it was nice. Well, this guy that I work with, he didn't have a car. And he rode his bike, even in the winter, to work. And he was a hard worker. And I told my wife, I said, you know what? I could sell this car for whatever. It's not worth a bunch. It was in good shape, you know, mechanically, even the outside. But what guy wants to drive a light blue car? Seriously, honestly. I mean, it's just not cool. It's not manly. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to let him know. He can have this car. Because I got a sweeter car. I got a 92 Corolla, white with light blue interior. And I'm going to one-up him. And so I went in that day and I said, you know, to my wife, I said, April, you're going to have to pick me up tonight. I was working in Columbus. She goes, well, I'm going to go ahead and give him the car. And he was in there. He had his bike and came in. At the end of the shift, I said, hey, I got something for you, man. And he goes, yeah, what's that? And I go, hey, I want to give you my car. He's like, what? You're going to give me your car? I said, dude, you know, you need a car. You've been working. He had been in jail before, so it was hard for him to get a loan. And I said, yeah, you need a car. I'm getting a much sweeter car than you got, but I'm going to give you this car. It has new tires. I think it had new brakes, new head gasket. It was running well. It's all yours. He goes, oh, my gosh. You would give me your car? And I said, sure, man. I said, the Lord told me to give you the car, and I'm going to give you the car. See, I don't want you to look at me because it isn't any good thing that I can do, but it's Christ that's within me that does that good deed, and that is the love of Christ. Do you want to know what the church looks like? That. Amen? I mean, that's what the church looks like, is that. Oh, I get another hour. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Well, I'm going to finish up. You know, sometimes until we can figure out who we are and we're okay with ourselves, then I'm okay being 59, gray-haired, short dude, doing whatever. And I mean, you know what? And people that know me, I don't care. I don't. You know why? Because I'm here to serve God. I am here to serve God. And if I think that I could serve him better if I was a little taller or a little stronger or this kind of hair or the guy, I am seriously missing it, because he created me, he created you perfect in every way that you are for a reason, for a reason. And what happens is that, how do I know this is true? Because most of us have an identity crisis. Not all of us, but most of us. And here's what I mean by that. Ancestry.com is making billions of dollars. You want to know why?
I just want to know who I am, man. I just want to know where, like, I came from, dude. I mean, am I part Indian? Indian? Am I part Hispanic? I mean, I just need to know, man. But if I knew who I was, I just know who I am. Yeah, get on Ancestry. I'll find out who I really am.
You know what? The Bible will tell you who you are. I was created perfect. When I was in my mother's womb, God knew who I was when he was created. He knows every hair on my head. He knows my walk. He knows my talk. Wherever I go, he's there. If he sees me, he goes, I know that's Larry. I know his walk. It's a little goofy, but I know his walk. I created him in all that way. And you see, when we get comfortable with ourselves, then we're able to help people with addictions, because you can warm right up to them. You know, there's probably, within the sound of my voice, be like, no way. Yeah, Yahweh. Or Yahweh. How do you want to get it? People suffering depression today. Right here. That's impossible. It is not. People here taking medication, and I do not want you to feel like you're doing something wrong, but they're on medication because they're so depressed. And if right now that's what you need to do, then that's what you need to do. But you're depressed. Somebody here could be addicted. Oh, in church? Oh my. What a better place for them to be than around the ultimate healer. Amen? I mean, Jesus did say, he's a great physician. Those that need a doctor, he's here. He's here today for you. People that are sick, lonely, financially struggling. And you know what's funny? There could be people homeless, don't have a nickel. And what's crazy about God's kingdom is simply this. It matches up not at all with the world system. Because it says, if you want to be rich, give. Huh? If you want to be strong, you're weak. If you want to live, die. What? None of this is making sense. You see, it makes no sense, because the world system says this. You know, if you want to be rich, then, you know, and I know, I'm just going to say this straight up. You know, I know we've been, Josh has been talking about money and the pastors, you know, everybody's like, gee, how many weeks is that? Are we almost done? But it's nothing for us to go set at a seminar for the entire weekend for 15 hours and learn how to get rich. Somebody say amen. People do it. You know, how to sell houses and how to, I'm going to, the whole weekend. And you know what? This has been like 5 or 6 weeks on finances and riches, and you usually hear about an hour, and not all of that's preaching, and we're just done with it. Come on now. I'm not trying to be mean to y'all, but listen, sometimes we need to suck it up and say, yes, God, what is it that I need to know out of this? I want to grow. And growth is tough. Growth hurts. I mean, I remember some of the days when I used to work out, and man, it would hurt so bad that I couldn't move. Right, Kevin? The days that you don't do legs for 2 months and then you do them and you go, that was a really bad idea. You know, it hurts. Growth can hurt. But there's people that are self-medicating. And if we can get ourselves to where we say, you know what, God, I know you don't want my money. You don't even need it. But I want to give you my life. And when you give God your life, it will change the world around you. Well, Larry, that's not for me. That is for you. What's a good deed? A smile. A couple of weeks ago, I was supposed to text somebody, and I didn't text them. And it was supposed to be something that said, hey, I think you're awesome. Have a great day, basically. Come to find out, they were going through a rough week, and I heard about it. Uh-oh, I should have texted. The Holy Spirit said, text this person, and I didn't. And so I texted him, and you know what I did? I didn't lie. I said, hey, heard you were having a rough week. My fault. Should have texted you last week. True story. You're awesome. And so I text him because the Holy Spirit works that way. What I want to do at the end of the service, that's why we went ahead and we took the offering and you know, we saw the things about the marriage conference, which, by the way, is going to be awesome. It's next weekend. Wow, I didn't realize it was here that fast. I'm pretty excited about it. But guys, when we give, things change. When we do simple good deeds, you are the one that gets empowered. You are the one that gets empowered. Last story. Yeah, we went out to dinner the other night, and we had a server that was awesome. Have you ever had that? We have a server that's just over the top, and you're just like, man, this guy was awesome. Everything was my pleasure. He was funny. You know, this guy, he kind of reminded me like of a cross between Will Smith and I don't know who else, but he was just cool. I mean, this dude was cool. It was fun. And he was cool. And he knew the right edge of where to be in serving because, you know, I went to Smith and Walensky's one time. You know what? And it's not okay for another dude or even a dudette to grab the napkin and place it on my lap, okay? That's crossing a line for me. Just saying. I'm like, it's a little weird, you know. I mean, I get to serving, but what I mean is this guy knew the line not to cross, but he was so cool. Now, he might have crossed the line at the end, but I thought it was pretty cool. At the very end, we were with a couple, and the guy hands him $20 for his tip. And the server goes, oh, no, I want a hug, and he dove in. And hugged this guy that we were with. And he was probably a little uncomfortable. I was like, this guy's on top of me. It was kind of weird. But you know what? I know the feeling that it gave me, you know, because I gave him like 10 cents. No, I'm just kidding. I did not. That's not true. But I know the feeling that I got from the emotion of what he got when he received. You know what? That's the way God is. When God said, I sent my only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know, I believe that God gets excited when a single person says, I want that. I want that gift that you're giving me. God's like, oh, that feels so awesome that I gave my son. We're going to close with this. Why don't we all stand? I have a prayer team. I believe I do. If not, then I am the prayer team. Darren will come up. Why don't you just go ahead and come on up? Daniel, if I have a prayer team, if they could come up. And I just want to close this simply. If you want to leave, that's fine. We will not chase you down. You can go, whatever. However, this is my desire. If there's something in your heart that you know you need prayed for, everybody else is going to leave. You're going to be dismissed. So don't wait. Just come on down, whether if you want to receive Jesus Christ and you've never done that, and you want to say, you know what, tell me more about it. You know, I'm not going to handcuff you, take you in a room somewhere. Just want to talk with you. People up here love you. They want to talk with you. If you're like, look, I desire to do good deeds, but I'm kind of shy. Let's pray for you. Here's why. If we get these things taken care of, I have an addiction. Come forward. Let us pray for you. Don't keep that. I'm sick in my body. Don't walk out of here being sick in your body. Amen. This is what the church is about. Amen. Can I get a hearty amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and close in prayer. When I do, You can leave. If you're noisy, that's fine. It's not going to really distract God, I'll be honest with you. But if you need prayer, I want you to come forward, and we want to pray with you. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for a word in season for such a time as this. God, I pray that this entire church would grab hold of doing good deeds, because in that, it would show the true love of Christ to this community and to the world. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer, come on down.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.